several that's sick, so continue praying for those. Nell's in the hospital again, and she's had a tough time of it this last two weeks, I guess. Can you remember Ken G? He gets a little upset when she's not around. So pray for them and for him to be comforted. I think Rudy's sick this morning. We got several others sick. Don't mean to miss any names. I know a lot of people is suffering from the virus and just different illnesses right now. So remember each one of them. Today does start our first day of Advent. Looking forward to Christmas and what the season is about and what it means. And we all know how easy it is, which this year, Lord may have made it where we can slow down a little bit. We ain't going to have near the family things and all probably we're used to. So we may have a little more time to reflect on truly what the season is about. And it's about God sent us a Savior, a way to escape sin that we're all so apt to get it, or we don't have a choice. We are born sinners. We thank God for a Savior to relieve us from that terrible issue that we have no other way out of. Go ahead and make a few announcements, then we'll take other prayer requests. Join us at 5 o'clock on Sunday nights at Fellowship Hall. We have a meal, and we have a time of Bible study first, and we have a meal, and then if weather permitting, we do some games or do something. So come out at 5 this Sunday night and enjoy that. Christmas program will be next Sunday at 5 o'clock. It's December the 13th. We'll have refreshments afterwards. Please bring finger food, sandwiches, sweets, anything else you want to bring to eat. We will have our, Lord willing, let me say that this way, we'll have our Christmas Eve service at 8 o'clock, Christmas Eve night, so invite your friends or neighbors or anyone that's church may not be having a service. We would love to have them here, so invite them if you can. Of course, New Year's Eve game night will be at Jonathan Carey's, be coming up. And so remember that. We got an exciting time of the year. Going to be different than what we're used to. But be much in prayer for all of those. Do we have any prayer requests that I hadn't made mention of? Service today. Remember all the services we'll be having throughout this time of year, and I ask you to do something. You'll hear it several times this morning, but just remember this from now on till Christmas and past would be good, but now on to Christmas, just remember what's been done, remember what is being done, remember who is in control. And this year it seems like we're so guilty of saying how everything has went wrong. It seems like nothing has been what we're used to, but God is still in control. He has not lost one bit. So I ask you to really remember. Just remember Him. Remember the love Jesus has for you, the love He has for lost souls, and I ask you to draw closer to Him through this season that we're in. Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings you have blessed us with, and we ask you to forgive us for our complaining, our fussing about what's going on, about how we think it should be this way and that way, and we know that you're perfect, and your way is perfect, and you're working to make us, as our Sunday school lesson taught us, our character more like you. Lord, we pray for those that are sick this morning, Mr. Nell and Kenny and Rudy and not the ones I miss, anybody that's with us or not, even the ones that are sick, ask you to touch them in a mighty way. Just heal their bodies, heal those that see after them, give the nurses and doctors the knowledge to care for them. And we ask you to protect each one as they travel. And God, just be with us. In this season, allow us to take this time that we're complaining about because we can't do this and that. Let us use it to reflect on you, to remember what you've done for us, and remember who you are. God, may you bless this service this morning. I pray that it be your will, that you draw some lost soul to you, whether it be one that's here or one that is watching online or whatever the case may be. Lord, I pray that you draw them. God, we thank you for sending your Son to die for us, that we don't have to experience a spiritual death. We're forever grateful for these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
care that we've had, there's comfort to be found when we pause to read, pray, and reflect over the course of the Advent season in which believers eagerly anticipate the celebration of Christ's birth. The first Sunday of Advent gives us the opportunity to center our thoughts on hope. It's a beautiful chance to remember the hope God offers to our lost and dying world and that He given us through Jesus. Galatians 4:4-8. But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as our very own children. And because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, promoting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are a child, God has made you His heir. Paul, the writer of Galatians, articulates so perfectly the great hope we celebrate at Christ at Christmas. Without God's intervention, we were all slaves, bound by our own sin nature and hopelessness headed to the grave. Because of God's great love for us, He came down and rescued humanity by sending His Son as a sacrifice of our sin, so we could be free from the chains of sin and become fully part of God's glorious eternal family. As we prepare our hearts to celebrate Jesus' arrival as a gift to all humanity, let's stir up in our hearts and homes a sense of anticipation. Over this Advent, we pray that hope would rise up in our spirit in a tangible and life-giving way. This candle of hope symbolizes promises delivered through the prophet from God as well as the hope we have in Christ. God crafted a great rescue plan that He lays out in Scripture. This plan foretells years in advance the arrival of Christ. The Bible also gives us a glimpse of the future and promise that God will come down to earth, a new heaven and earth. Let us pray. Father, let Your hope arise in our hearts. Lift our eyes up to see that You alone are where our hope comes from. Help us to shake off the anxiety, discouragement, distractions that has filled this year. May we pause to remember that we have hope in You. You know the end of our stories, and we will give thanks because You have promised that with a victorious ending. Give us the grace we need to wrap up this year joyfully. We invite Your Spirit into this beautiful Advent season. Renew our sense of holy anticipation. Let us be those who are waiting eagerly for Jesus to come again. More than anything, we ask that You be glorified in this season of expectations. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Please stand and join us in our call to worship. Thank you.
skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth, they traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. Falling on their knees, they bow before the humble Prince of Peace. We bring an offering of worship to our King. No one on earth deserves the praises that we sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that we sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that we sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you.
Throughout December, and that's going to be the title of it, Remember Me. Remember Me, and I think we are guilty. I can't speak for you, but I speak for myself. We're guilty of forgetting Him in so many things. We are guilty of using the Lord as a spare tire. I could ask most of you, is your spare tire in your car or your truck pumped up, and you wouldn't know. If you don't need it, you don't look at it. That's how guilty we are of the Lord. We come to Him, and you would think 2020 we would be closer, but we have relied on other things, I'm afraid, to substitute what He desires to be, and that's our Lord and Savior and our ruler and our King of Kings. And this morning we're going to start this service out with communion. There's not a better message in the Bible about remembering Him than communion. You can see that table, it says, do this in remembrance of me, or it says, remembrance of me, and that's why we have communion. It's one of the ordinances that God had given in the Bible that we should keep. It's nothing to be taken lightly. It is very serious. It is the representation of the body that was broken, the blood that was shed. It was not spilled. It was shed on purpose. When you spill something, it's an accident. but when you shed it, it is on purpose, and it was poured out freely for me and you. And so we're going to, if the men would come, and we will pass out the cups. Now let me have a, I've got to have a seminar, so you won't be looking like me. I was looking all stupid when I saw one. This is the coronavirus communion. It is made to try to protect us. It is, on this communion cup, there is a plastic tab. And it ain't going to work for me right now. But there's a plastic tab that you're supposed to pull first. The little clear plastic one, pull that first, and we will bless it, and we'll eat the bread. And then secondly, of course, you pull the foil tab, and the juice is available there. We're probably going to all have it spilled on us, but we'll be okay. So if the men will pass it out, we will continue. Take of the bread, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians, again in this chapter number 11, read verse 27 through down, because I want to take just a minute, because this is important. It says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Verse 28 says, "But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep." We're going to take just a little bit. You need to bow your head and pray and ask God to forgive you of anything that's in your life. You need to do that before you partake of this. I believe it's that serious according to the Word. So we'll take just a bit. Chapter 11, verse number 24. And then I hear y'all. I don't blame you. I start feeling too, because I don't know how this thing's going to work. But if you go ahead and peel your thing off, mine worked pretty good. And we will pray, and then we will partake of the bread. Father, we thank you for you providing your body as a symbol of this bread, a symbol of your body that was broken for us. God, you was treated, Jesus was treated terribly. Crucified, and you give it all for me and all for every one of us. Lord, I pray there's one here that doesn't know you, that you'll use this time, this remembering season, to draw those to you. And God, save this one. God, save many, but if it's your will to save one, God, just we ask you to work mightily. God, again, we thank you for this bread and for what it represents. We ask you to bless it, nourish our body, our bodies to your service. In Jesus' name we ask it. It says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse number 25. In the same manner also he took the cup. Let's have another word of prayer, then we will take of the juice. Father, we thank you for what this represents, God, the blood that you shed for us, for me and for every person here, and every person that is alive, that we know that you know which ones will be saved. God, we pray that those will say yes. Lord, we ask you to be in with us this season. Let us see and remember that this is not any blood that was shed. This is the blood of the very Son of God that was shed for lost mankind. God, you did this because of your love. We thank you, God, for everything you've done. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. 25 says, same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do you, as oft you drink, remember it of me. Amen. I don't think it's quite well, just but it works. Thank God for this time that we can do this, and you will just place that wrapper somewhere where we don't make a big mess with them, and we'll go into the presence of our service. Part one of this Remember Me series is where we have to start this time of year, and I know we may think, oh my goodness, it's repetitive, he does this every year, but it's important that we understand every single part of this plan that God give us this time of year, and it's forever, but this time of year we set aside to remember Jesus came and died for us, and the title of this section is How He Came, How He Came to Us. We know that you can't set a date on when Jesus began because he's always been. In the Bible, in Genesis, it says, let us make man. And let us. And when it says let us, that's the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. They have always been, will always be. Don't ask me to explain it because I can't. I believe it by faith, and it's by faith only. But this virgin birth is something that trips up so many people. And I don't understand it. I don't understand it one bit, because if you can believe the very first verse of Genesis, you should have no problem believing that God is able to cause a virgin to conceive. But many scholars, even in Christian universities, has questioned this, and they just cannot grab a hold of it. And the reason they can't is because they cannot explain it. They can't explain it. Listen, I can't explain it either. But I'm going to try to tell you a little bit of how we have proof that he was born of a virgin. And I know that I will never, ever be able to prove to you, because the Bible teaches we must believe it on faith. But I'm going to show you why it had to be done this way. Why couldn't he come any other way? Because he would have had the tainted sin, blood of all human beings in him, and he did not. But listen, if you turn to Isaiah, chapter number 7, verse 14, is where we'll bring this message from, and you'll see that this was about 750 years before he ever came to earth. This was prophesied of him by the prophet Isaiah. It says, and therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Father, we thank you for this scripture. God, we ask you to open it to our hearts and minds. And Lord, I pray that there every person here is able to leave here with a better understanding of why you must have been born of a virgin, and why we must believe it, and why it's important. And God, just touch our minds, touch our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'll give you a little disclaimer before getting going here. If you cannot believe the virgin birth, according to my Bible, I don't believe you can be a Christian. I don't believe you can. It is the very groundwork of what we believe. It's the very foundation of this, because if Jesus was born of the same way I am, then he is a man such as me. Now that's hard for us to understand again, because he was 100% human. I'll show you that in a minute, that he hurt like we hurt. He cried like we cried. He didn't have failures as I have, but he had temptations and all these things, but not once did he ever sin. But it was told 750 years before his birth, but the earliest mention of the virgin birth is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It tells us that the seed of the woman will bring forth this man named Jesus. And listen, it's through the seed of that he would save the world. And listen, when you begin searching back, now in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, I believe it is, they give two different accounts of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. One of them sees it on the side of Mary, and one sees it on the side of Joseph, of his earthly parents. And we know that Joseph did not have any part in it, but this was done because we all have parents. We all have genealogies of both sides of those parents. But when you look at both sides, he is connected to the lineage of David. He is in there because the Scripture said he must be of the lineage of David, so it is all tied together. You can go and you wonder, why does the Bible have all these begats and all of that? It's because me and you today would need proof to know that Jesus came from this seed and that he was from this woman. That Mary's part, Mary's little part she had in this, again, she was a vessel. We are not to worship her above Jesus by no means. It is only she was a vessel that God used, and she was able to be used. So, yes, we should be thankful for her and all this, but she's not who we are to worship. But her part in this is a connection to humanity that Jesus has because he had the human nature. Now, if he did not have any human nature, then he couldn't be like me and you. He couldn't understand the failures or the hardships we go through. He couldn't understand the pain that we feel. He couldn't understand all this stuff that comes upon me and you in today's times. But he did. He had a human connection, and it was through this woman Mary. And I want you to think about this. That the Bible don't tell us exactly how old she was. The scholars say she could have been as young as 14. We don't know. But anyway, she was a young woman, and she was a virgin. And listen, it's important that you understand this. That word means, and we know this, and I'm not being vulgar, but never touched by a man. Never had been, and when the Holy Spirit of God puts that son Jesus in that egg and in that womb, and listen, a man had nothing to do with it. The Bible says she was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is a God thing, and it's there. And I want to ask you a question because I've got your head spinning right now. How many of y'all can explain anything that God does? I can't. I can't explain how God made one thing. I can't explain how God made some of the simplest things. I sure can't explain the hard things of God. So why do I think I'll ever be able to explain this? And people have a hard time with it. I don't understand. But listen, it's important we understand that she was a virgin. And the proof is in the prophecy of Isaiah. The proof is in the prophecy of Genesis. And secondly, the proof is in his physical makeup. John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. It says that the Word was God, and he was it. You want to think about what Jesus is, and here it is. It's the Word of God. It was made flesh and dwelt among us. I believe he grew up just as the other children grew up. I believe he fell at times and skinned his elbows. I believe he ran up down the roads like they did. I believe he played whatever sports they had there that day. I believe he did the things that they did. I believe there was times that he may have even got a fever, or he may have had a little cold or different things, because the Bible said that he was made flesh, yet without sin. He was just as human as we are. You need to get that point. He was just as human as we are. And listen, he got thirsty. The Bible says that he was tempted for 40 days. He had thirsted. And the Bible says he hungered. And there was times we saw that where he wept and all these. Obviously on the cross, when he was beaten, he bled. His crown of thorns was put upon his head. His beard was plucked out. My friends, he was flesh. He was flesh and blood just as you are. And listen, he came here to die this terrible death for me and you. And may I tell you again, I'm going to tell you 100 times in this sermon, he got here by means of a virgin. Boy, the world has a tough time with this one. He bled, but he cut or pierced. He had blood, but not tainted by sin. Listen, now this gets a little, sounds like I'm smart, but I copied it from a book. Some people believe that he was a product, and I can't even say this word good, but parthenogenesis. What that means is they are certain plants and certain animals even that can bring forth or can reproduce, never being touched by a male species. And vice versa, there's males that can reproduce and not a woman involved. That's in fish and different things. But there gets to be a problem with the thought of that. And this thought of this is in these intellectuals in these universities who think they know more than God does and think they know more than the Word of God does. But the problem with this is, in both mammals, females have two X chromosomes. Two X chromosomes. And in mammals, males have an X and a Y. So, if it was the case that Mary brought forth Jesus by this means, such as some plants do, such as some fish do, such as I think even some birds that do it, if that was the case, then Jesus would have had to been a girl. We know it's not true. It says many times he was the Son of God. And we all know that there was historical accounts outside the Word of God that knew he was a man, that knew he did exist. And listen, by the way, we don't pay attention to them. We pay attention to the Word of God. But I'm just giving you a little proof today that there was no way he come from this means. He was put there by the Holy Spirit of God. He was born of a virgin, and there's no other way to think about it. And I can't explain it enough ways where you'll ever understand it. All I can tell you is you must believe it by faith if you are to be saved, because that's the redemption process. He had to come in a perfect form. And I've told you a million times about those of y'all that's in the medical field, if you would love to get the book of Dr. DeHaan, it is called The Chemistry of the Blood. And in The Chemistry of the Blood book, Dr. DeHaan, he is a physical medical doctor. He's also a doctor of theology. But he goes into how that a fetus never encounters the blood of the woman unless something happens, and then the fetus usually does not survive. So he never got the blood of Mary in her womb. He only had what was from his divine nature, which was by God. But the egg did have part of his reproduction, and that was his human connection. So it's important that we understand this, that he had to come this way. He had to be this way, and his human nature, because of the egg of Mary, and the Holy Spirit placed Jesus in that womb. How did it happen? I don't know. I have not one idea how that happened, but I know it did. Because he had to come this perfect way. And one thing you need to remember all season long is that this man that was given for me, he come as no man has ever came. Why was he able to not have a flesh that was his? Because he was virgin born. He didn't have the sinful blood of the Father running through his veins as I have. Listen, I have a great daddy. I do. My daddy's probably one of the best men I've ever met. I tell people all the time, sometimes, that I may tell you a little something wrong, but he will not. I've never heard him say much ugly in his whole life, and he is a great man. But listen, as great a man as he is a sinner. And he has sinful blood, and there's times that he would get ill. There's times that he would get upset, and the girls are here saying amen. They know him now in his older years. But we all know this, by no means is he perfect, because he has a blood that was tainted by sin. And so does my children have that blood that's tainted by sin that came from him. But Jesus had blood from the Holy Father running through his veins that had never touched sin and never did touch sin and never will touch sin. If you get one thing through this, remember that he was perfect and still is. Not one flaw is with our Savior. You cannot find one thing wrong with him. They can search this Bible. They will not find one hole in this thing of the virgin birth of Christ. They try to bring up all these things and all these philosophies because they cannot prove it. And I want to tell you something today. You better trust that he was born this way. If you can believe that he, by faith, he saves you. By faith that he gives you heaven when you deserve death. If you can believe that by faith, why should I have a problem believing that God could cause a virgin to conceive? I shouldn't. It's all an operation of faith. He had to physically be connected to the seed of David. That's the only way it would work. He had to be physically connected. The Bible tells us this, that he had to be. It was in Romans, chapter number 1, verses 1 through 4. Listen to this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now listen, there is not one part of this Bible that will go unfinished. Every prophecy of this Bible will be fulfilled. Many of it has already been fulfilled. And there is not one thing that will fall out of this Word of God that will not come true. And this is part of the reason it had to be, because it was prophesied that he would do this. He had to be connected to David, and he was did this through Mary. If you want to find that out, go get out your Bible in Matthew, begin reading, and you can track him all the way back to Mary in this lineage and all the way back to David, and you'll be certain that God kept his word, because his promises are always true. He promised that through the seed of David that all the nations would be blessed. Through the seed, we know it connects all the way back to Abraham. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 and 13. And when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. He is tied all the way back. You can track this thing. And God kept his promises. And God will always do this. And as in Matthew, and as in Luke, where you can track him all the way back to King David and to Abraham. God's promise is proof. God's promise is proof that he had to be virgin born. Now you can read books after books about this. I've got one that I ordered a while back. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. It's about that thick, and you can read it, and there's stuff in there that gets your head spinning. And men have done great studies on it. But I knew that nothing I can preach this morning, I can have all these proofs, but nothing is going to satisfy us. Because us as human, we live in what this say. If I can't touch it, if I can't feel it, if I can't smell it, and I can't taste it, then I have a problem believing it. Well, let me tell you something. If you have a problem doing that, then you may not know the Lord. Because he says we are saved by grace through faith, and not of works, lest any man should boast. He don't have to prove anything to you. But he gave you all these proofs in the Word of God, that he is who he said he was, a virgin-born son of God. And that's the last one. Proof is in your faith. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past by the fathers and the prophets. I put the wrong scripture down. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, says the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things that we cannot understand. You have a problem of understanding a lot of things. And it says by faith we believe that the worlds were created by him, by the word of God. Now we think we can know a little bit about the creation. We think we, as scientists today, they think they understand a little bit about how this thing was made. But all actuality, they understand nothing. The universe is so fat, so vast, they can't. They can't get a hold of a very little of it. And all we can see is a minute bit of this universe. And all this stuff, God spoke it into existence. And it says that we understand that. And we must believe that. Now, I am dumb enough to believe that God created man in his image. I believe that. I believe that man created our bodies, and then it says he breathed the breath of life in us, and we became a living soul. I believe that. I believe that God created every human being that has ever lived. I believe that God made them. And I believe those little babies that are in those wombs right now, I believe God put them there. And I believe God created them. And I believe God had, it says in Jeremiah, before you was in your mother's womb, he had fashioned you. He had said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I believe you are a creation of God. And I believe he is so awesome and so mighty that he can speak and anything can happen. Also believe that he placed his perfect son in the womb of a virgin. And it said when time was come, now listen, Amberly and Lisa and some of these other girls around here, Hannah, they have children coming. And we've gotten in a time when we want to rush things up. I remember when Stephanie was pregnant with Amberly, it seemed she would never get here. As the time got near and the day, the due date the doctor said was going to happen, didn't happen. She's always been stubborn. 2 weeks later, here she comes. Well, we thought it should have happened then. But it said when time was to be delivered, Jesus came forth. At a perfect time, they was on their way to be taxed. Prophecy had to be fulfilled. He had to be born in the house of bread because he was the bread of life. And the whole plan of his life was prophesied, and it was perfected, and it was going to come to pass. You see, I think it's why it's so important for us to believe that he was born of a virgin, because the same faith that believes that he has provided a place for me, and provided that he has provided a salvation for me, and it would be proof to know that he kept that promise, and he made it come to pass, and it worked out just perfectly, then why should I not trust that he has made a way for me? He says, in my house in many mansions. If I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come and receive you. That where I am, there you may be also. He says, I'm not slack concerning my promise. The day is of 1,000 years. He is going to return. If not, you're going to go to the way of the grave. One way or another, the Bible says, be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Just as the same proof we believe of the virgin birth, we believe in our salvation. Saved by grace through faith. I don't understand one thing of salvation. I don't understand why he had to come. I don't understand why he had to do all the things he did. I don't understand any of it. I don't understand why he loved me enough to do it. I don't understand why he loved all the lost people, the ones that have done bad things, and I don't understand any of that of why he come. It don't make sense to me, but bless God, I believe it. I believe it. We must take God at his word. This has been quick this morning, quicker than I thought. Let me tell you something. If you doubt any of the word of God, you doubt it all. If you doubt any of it. There's people today that want to take parts of it and say, well, maybe it was this, or maybe it was that. Listen, it's what the enemy has done from the very beginning when he beguiled Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What did he do? He twisted the Word of God. And what is he doing today? He's trying to change and twist the Word of God. Well, surely God didn't mean that. Surely God didn't mean you must be a pure. Surely God didn't mean that you must not live that type of lifestyle. Surely God didn't mean that you can't do that and be what he's called you to be. Well, surely if we just take this little bit about God is love, then surely we could save the world. Listen, you got to take all the Bible. You got to believe it all, or you don't believe any of it. It is a complete... You understand what this is? It is the Word of God. If I tell you a word, I can change it a little bit. And we all do. I can tell you something, you go tell your neighbor, you sweeten it up a little bit to make it sound like you're better than me. We all do that. We tell a story that happened, we'll add a little bit to it to make that story sound better. It's human nature, it's what we do. But the Bible says, God, he cannot lie. And if he cannot lie, I should be able to take this complete word at what it says it is. And it said that Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. Died a terrible death. He resurrected on the third day, and he's forever on the right hand of God making intercession for me and you. And I believe every single word of it. I also believe the part where it says that if you haven't put your faith in him, if you haven't been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, it says you will be eternally separated from God. Boy, that's not fancy today, is it? That's not heard today. You don't want to hear that. The Bible teaches that unless you know him and free pardon of sin, and by the way, you have not made no deals. Keith's probably heard this more than I have in the funeral business, but there'll people say, well, Daddy told me years ago that he made a deal with God. Listen, you ain't made no deal with God. The only way is that he sent his son to die for you, and you received him. If not, you're lost as a goose. That's the only deal. Is the holy, inerrant, perfectly preserved Word of God. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. It says of itself, it's for rebuke, it's for correction. And boy, there's times I read this and I get mad at it. Because because I like doing certain things and you like doing certain things. And then if we don't like it, you know what we'll do? We'll say, well, I'll fix that problem. I just won't come here no more. Or I won't pick it up and read it. Or I won't listen to it. I won't do anything to do with it because I don't like what it says. Listen, whether you like it or not, you do not change that it's still the Word of God. You don't have to like it, but you ain't going to change it. He came by means of a virgin. And you'll never explain it. And you'll never know how it happened. Same way you'll never know how he spoke and the earth became what it is. Your mind is not that big. Your mind is not that understanding. But today you must believe that Jesus Christ was born of Mary, a virgin that had never been with a man. It even goes into in depth and tells us that when Mary and Joseph was espoused, that when they was engaged, he didn't know her. That's the term they use in the Bible about performing what husband and wife having sex. That did not happen until after Jesus Christ was born. Joseph had no part in the reproduction of this son, put there by the Holy Spirit of God. The question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it today? We've heard it all our lives. We've seen it in Christmas plays. We've read it in our Bibles. We've heard preachers preach it. Do we honestly believe it? And why is it important that you believe it? Because someone that was not perfect, a sacrifice that was not perfect, could not redeem humanity. He took a perfect sacrifice. No sin. No sin was ever in him. Sins of the world was on him, but never was a sin in him. Perfect sacrifice. And Pat comes forth. This season of Christmas, remember of what miracles took place for you to be saved, for you to be reunited with your Creator. He created you and he had a desire to have a relationship. But because of sin, there was a separation. And so before the world even began, before he ever, in his perfect plan, he created a way for man to be made back with him. And in the first part of this plan, he had to come to the earth and live as a human. And he had to do it to fulfill all the law. And to do this, he had to be virgin born. He had to be perfect. You can't take something flawed and end up with something perfect. You can't do that. The only way that happens with God. He took something perfect and ended up with something perfect. Jesus Christ came of that virgin and never had a sin in him. Sin wasn't in his heritage on the Father's side. He was tied to humanity on his mother. But the blood in those veins never endured sin. To remember this season that he came of this virgin to live and to die for you. Put your name in that Word of God. He came to die for you. He came to live for you. He came that you may have life and have it abundantly. He may came that you may live eternally, that never will you have to taste death spiritually. Remember him this season. Forget about coronavirus. I know it's on all of our hearts and minds. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week now. We can't even go into a store without thinking about it. Can't get in our cars without thinking. We can't do anything. It's there. Let me ask you a question. Can any of you see coronavirus? You see the effects of it, but can you see the virus with your eyes? No, you can't. If you could, we'd steer away from it. Why do people have such a problem believing in Almighty God? They say, well, I can't see. I'm here to tell you today that He is real. Not only is He real, He is alive. He is a living God. He's not dead. He will live forevermore. And so will you if you trust His Son as your Savior. Will you today? If you don't know Him, will you give your heart and life to Him? What a Christmas present that would be. Life eternal.